Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is...
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore Scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are continuing on in the Psalms, Psalm 62.
Psalm 62. Mm-hmm. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times. Our people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of lowly estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they grow up, and or in the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. But no trust in exhortation. Let no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work.
Right, thank you. So this is another Psalm of David, specifically for Jeduthun. I don't know, we'll call him Jed for short, because I'm not sure about the pronunciation, who was appointed by David to lead Israel's public worship. So as I was reading that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Could you imagine being the head worship leader for all of Israel, basically? That would be quite the responsibility. We don't have a church, I don't think, in the world that's the size of Israel was.
Well, I don't know how many people are actually Catholic.
Right. Yeah.
There are some... organization
like that kind
that
of a
singular
scale.
Person, but I mean, the Pope would be, in theory, the teacher, not the worship leader. I mean,
the
world's got Chris Tomlin or whichever famous person who seems to be
everywhere at once.
I mean, Christian music, we got those people, but they're not really attached.
Heard from him lately, though. Really.
Oh yeah, no, you just need to follow him on social media. He's still out there touring.
He's still stuck in the older years of things, probably.
Yeah, we're old.
We're old. All right, so we get to verse 1 where it says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. So here we see this attitude of submission, right? You have David waiting for God and leading Israel through this, right? Like recognizing that God alone is the one that salvation comes from. So we wait for Him. Mm-hmm. Now the word here truly is often translated as alone or only. So I think from what I was reading, it looks like we maybe lose some of the intenseness of this verse when we translate it from Hebrew to English.
Yeah, that happens.
Truly alone gives this psalm the earnestness that can be missed in bringing it over to English. Like, I guess it's used 5 times in 8 verses. Like, there's this repetitive, that constant intenseness of focusing on the Lord. And that truly, like, just for us in English, we don't even use that word anymore, really.
Truly?
Not like truly, like it's
truly we do,
but not really, not in our everyday language, the way that they're using it here.
And that's the problem with, and I mean, this is why, if you've ever wondered why there's lots of English translations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Our English is what they call a live language. Biblical, Greek, and Hebrew mm-hmm. are dead languages. The way you speak doesn't change. With a dead language.
Right.
But with a live language, words continually mean different things.
Yeah, they're constantly changing and morphing to match.
Or can mean different things.
Right. So one of the quotes that I came across while I was studying for this, about verse 1 specifically, says, the natural mind is ever prone to reason when we ought to believe, to be at work when we ought to be quiet, and to go our own way when we ought to steadily walk on in God's ways. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty powerful because that's so true, right? We want our own way. We think that our own mind knows best. And yet here David is saying, for God alone, I wait in silence.
Yeah.
So here, God is my salvation. David isn't asking for anything, but he's waiting silently before God because he knows who saves him and he wants more of him. Right? So verse 2 continues on and says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. So because of his strength in God and because of God being his rest and salvation, he knows that he is secure.
Yep.
He doesn't have to worry, right? Regardless of whatever circumstances he is in, he waits for the Lord. He seeks the Lord, and he won't be shaken. He won't be moved. There's nothing that's going to come along and change his mind.
Right. And you have that imagery everywhere.
I love it.
The cornerstone, firm foundation,
rock,
the refuge, the unmovability of God in so many things, in who he is, but also how he is.
No, absolutely. And so we see here David is actively seeking and waiting for the Lord. Verse 3 goes on and says, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. So though David is trusting in the Lord, he still has questions for his enemies, right? How long are you going to keep doing this? Like, seriously. Like, he knows he won't be shaken, but he still has to put up with what his enemies are doing, what they're saying, all the things that they're, their constant attacks against him, whether it's verbal, whether it's physical.
Yep.
So he's asking them.
It's nice to know that David couldn't put up a fence either. Right? Tottering fence.
Yeah.
Like, we
there's weakness there, right?
Yeah. Drives me crazy when we put up a fence and it's not straight.
Yes, it does.
It's not strong.
I think it's the farm kid in me.
but it's, I get that analogy, right?
Like,
like, what good is a thing if it's just like a fence that is all floppy? Like, if you lean on it, you can just walk over top of it, kind of thing. So
does
I get
no
that.
Good.
I like that analogy.
He's good with the analogies, David is. Hey, Verse 4: they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So they're thrusting him down from his high position. They're trying to wear him down, to destroy him. He's a man of God, and they don't like this, and they're trying to take that away from him. Right? They lie about him. It says they take pleasure in lies. They speak falsehoods, and they say one thing, but their attitude is cursing, not blessing. So they can't be trusted.
Yeah.
You know, there's this hypocritical aspect to how they live and what they're saying and what they're doing. So David knows, I can't trust them, right? Then we come to verse 5, which is kind of a repeat of verse 1. For God alone, like a reminder, for God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. So here we have, instead of salvation as in verse 1, we have the word hope. My hope is in him. So David is reminding himself to wait for the Lord, to rest in him. That's where his nourishment and his peace is. And his hope is in God alone, right? His hope for now and his hope for the future. And then verse 6, again, we see, he is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. So there's those words again. I shall not be shaken. Yeah. You know, we see David's desire to remain true and faithful to the Lord. And I love this for us, like for you and me and whoever's listening. How many times do we remind ourselves? Sometimes we need that reminder, whether it's friends in our lives, whether it's, you know, like that whole preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself, you know, scripture and keep speaking that into your own life. You know, why we remain faithful to God, who God is.
Right.
God alone is our salvation. These are things that David is reminding himself. And I think it's a good... it's a good reminder to us that we also need to do that. We also need to remind ourselves that God alone is who we wait for, who we rest in.
Yeah.
He is our refuge and our salvation. And it's God alone that can give us hope for our future.
Yeah.
It's only God. And no matter what people, and we don't have the enemies in the same way that David has, but there's people in our lives that don't want good for us, or they don't want us to succeed, and you know, or maybe they just cause strife and a little bit of friction. And so while they may not be enemies, the way that David's were like literally trying to kill him, they do cause that tension in our life. And I think it's good for us to remind ourselves that God protects us from that.
Yeah.
Even though they may not be stopping right away, that we can find rest and hope in God.
Yeah, but we do. I mean, we do have people. I mean, the way that people try to kill us is different now.
That's right.
They don't try to take your life. But you may have people who are trying to destroy your reputation.
Yeah. Or your career.
Your career. Mm-hmm. Your good name, your finances. Mm-hmm. There are predatory people who prey on
your relationship,
marriages,
yeah,
families,
you're right.
And
that's true.
So all of those things, in essence, are going to kill you.
Right.
Like, they are going to drastically alter your life, potentially destroy your inner.
Well, and destroy your soul, right? Like David says, "For God alone, my soul waits."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. Verse 7, he says. Continues on and says, on God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. So again, rest on God, his salvation, his glory, his rock, his refuge. All of these things are who God is.
Yeah.
Verse 8 continues, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And I love this about David, how he has something that he is him, personal and inward. And then he takes it and turns it to Israel and says, this isn't just for me.
Yep.
This isn't just my God. These truths aren't just mine. These are for all of us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm reminding myself, but now I'm reminding you. So you need to trust at all times, right? You need to pour out your heart.
It's that classic scene from the movie that everybody knows and loves, Remember the Titans.
Oh, everybody knows and loves it, do they?
It's a football,
I love your broad.
It's an American football movie. And there's it's a high school football team that one of the first teams to amalgamate whites and blacks together on the team. And there's one moment where they're having a problem in practice and the one guy's like, you're not playing hard enough, basically. You're not playing hard enough. And there's this beautiful one line where it's just like, attitude reflects leadership, right? Mm. The team will play like the captain plays.
Yeah, right.
And here David's doing the same thing. Yeah. Israel, your hearts, your lives, they're being threatened too, right? Yeah. And so we have to have the same firm foundation.
Yeah, that good reminder, right?
Yeah.
David's being a good leader. Verse 9 continues on and says, those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate, a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together, lighter than a breath. Mm-hmm. And I love this where he's like, be aware of this. Just be conscious that none of this matters, right?
Yeah.
Be aware. Yeah. Don't trust in these things.
I think it's the NIV that I'm looking at in front
of
me. I don't have it, but men of low degree are a vapor.
Okay.
Men of high degree are a lie.
Right? This
that feels
not
harsher.
It does feel harsher, doesn't it? Well, I think it's harsher because we put such esteem in those that we view as high.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're successful and you are someone of importance and people look up to you, then we consider that to be something to aspire to.
Yeah.
Whereas Dave is saying, no, beware of that. It doesn't last. It's not real.
Yep.
Right? It's temporary. It's a delusion. They don't save you. Excuse me. They will pass because it's temporary. But God is not. Right? And so the point that David is making is not that we have nothing to fear from man, is that we have nothing to hope from him.
Yep.
There's no hope that we find in that, in this verse specifically. Verse 10 goes on and says, put no trust in exhortation. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Yeah.
Right? People often get ahead by dishonest ways. So David is saying, don't do this. Don't set your heart on being rich. Don't set your heart on getting all of those things and amassing all of those things that you want. And David, speaking in this way, would actually have experienced both extreme wealth and extreme poverty. Right, as a king and then as an outlaw and a shepherd boy and running for his life, right? So he knows there's no hope in wealth. His hope in the Lord didn't change because his financial status changed or his circumstances changed. His hope remains secure. And so he's just kind of warning Israel about this. Be aware of this. Your hope is in God, right? There is no hope in wealth. And while wealth isn't bad on its own, God does many great things with wealth. It's all his. But the danger of setting your heart upon wealth, that's where it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a very real thing. Because if it makes you proud and think you're better than others, if you trust in the wealth more than God, if it's where you get your security and your joy from, then that's what David is saying, watch for this. Because that is not what honors God. If your hope is found in all of these things and not the Lord, then that's where the danger is because your gaze has shifted and you are no longer looking to God.
That's the thing, right? Like, oftentimes, like, you go through that whole little section there where it's hoping in robbery and wanting to scale away everything.
Right.
David's saying, like, everything's light and a vapor. Mm. Don't try to steal. You know, if you get rich, that doesn't bring you actual joy.
No.
Right. We spend so much time in our lives trying to give ourselves joy with something that actually doesn't last.
Absolutely.
And that's what David's saying here is like, don't.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
No, 100%. I once worked with a
lady. But yet, that's all that we all do.
That's what we strive for. Like, right. I worked with her. She's a teacher. And they were living in the oil field at the time. And it's a very different world in the oil field compared to any other world we've lived in. But anyway, she was saying to me how she had everything. They had the big house on the acreage. They had the apartment in the city. They had, you know, the trailer, the truck, all of the toys that people in the area, yeah, in that world were trying to amass and gain. She's like, we had it all. But we were so unhappy. Our marriage was about to break up. Like, there was no joy in that.
Yeah.
And that just keeps coming back to me when I think, oh, I wish we had this or I wish we had that. It's like, no, my joy and my hope cannot be found. My security can't be found in that. Because it actually, it's a lie. It gives you nothing for the future.
Well, it gives you that little bit
it's a fleeting.
Gives you that little bit of an echo towards, like, Matthew 6, the do not worry passage. Like, the birds have their food.
Right.
Nothing is prettier than the field of flowers. So don't put your heart, don't set your heart on things that we run after that just don't matter.
Keep your priorities where they're supposed to be, and then you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Verse 11, God has spoken twice, I have heard this, that power belongs to the Lord. So he keeps hearing this, right? More than once, power is the Lord's. David trusts in God's power. That's his strength. His strength does not come from himself. It's from God. And God alone, excuse me. And verse 12 says, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. I love this, that steadfast love, that mercy, right? The Lord is rich in mercy, rich in love, that we can look to God for power. But also in that power and that refuge comes love and mercy that never fail. And I liked this part, like, according to his work. I think we read that like a judgment. Did I do enough? There's a negative connotation here. But I love this as I was reading and studying. It's like David is talking about the people whose good works are rejected and despised by the world, but saying, no, God sees this. God recognizes this. So kind of twisting it and putting that positive, while you were forgotten and despised for all of the works that you're doing to honor the Lord, God does see that.
Yeah.
And he will honor that.
Yeah.
In due time, in his way. Right? So David is, again, reminding them. And Spurgeon's quote, I will say a Spurgeon quote. I always think of you when I do it. But his quote was quite well fitting for this. You know, man neither helps us nor rewards us, but God will do both.
Yep.
Right? So this is encouraging. And I want to encourage you in the psalm today, is to not give up in doing good for the sake of the gospel. Do not give up in finding your everything in Jesus and who he is. For while he is your strength, he's also your love and your mercy, and you belong to him. So I just want you to find rest and comfort in that today. And if you have to, take stock of your own heart and where your priorities are, and what do you look to for power and strength and comfort. And I just want to encourage you to keep your eyes focused on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or a comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.